Welcome to Not Terrible.
I'm Jess Hooker.
And I'm Mary Graham. This is episode 29 of the Not Terrible podcast. On today's episode, we're preparing for the holiday season by discussing the less happy side of celebrating. The holidays are not always joyful, and sometimes they seem to exaggerate the everyday stress. We'll share ways to survive the next few months and why it's okay to not be excited about the season. Not Terrible, a field guide for the hopeless optimist.
So generally speaking, do you look forward to the holidays?
Yes.
You do? We have this joke in our family that our mom is going to be extra before the holiday season. She might...
Extra fill in the blank?
Extra, no, like extra in terms of she's either going to be... It's going to be the best holiday of our lives or... One of us are not going to deliver, and it's going to be bumpy.
It's going to ruin the whole.
It's going to ruin the whole thing, the whole dang thing. But she got a new house this year. If you follow us on social media, you already know.
She has big plans.
She has big plans. She is hosting Thanksgiving, and I usually host Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and I am not hosting Thanksgiving. I am very grateful.
I was going to say, I think that's good that you get a break.
Yeah, I'm not hosting. I don't anticipate hosting anything this holiday season. And I'm really happy about that. In the last 2 years ago, Christmas really wasn't great. And then last year, Christmas was horrible. And you know what? It's going to be a crapshoot. This time, kids, we don't know what's going to happen.
Could go either way.
Yeah, it could go either way. So we'll just wait and see. But I'm trying to not. I don't want to think the worst. I haven't even really wanted to celebrate it the last couple of years. And I'm trying. I like everybody to feel very special at the holidays, and I am trying to just make, like what we were talking about before we went on the air. Our circle is small, and caring and loving those people well in our circle. Mm-hmm. Our reach doesn't have to be that far. I think that that's a thing. So sorry, neighbors. No gifts this year. I didn't talk to you since last Christmas. Not getting anything this Christmas.
No card for you.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, actually, I'm not. So, yeah.
Well, I think that, like we... discussed before we hit record is that that's a healthy boundary, and that makes you kind of feel guilty, but mm-hmm. actually that's how you survive mm-hmm. if things are rough or if things are not rough. That's just like that's how you care for the people you're supposed to care for, because we're not supposed to care for everyone,
right?
Like intimately,
right? And it's mm-hmm. not our job to make sure everybody feels special at the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 1,000 other ways to make people feel special at the holidays and not spend money or too much time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been bad about that in terms of teachers, especially, and mm-hmm. school staff, really over-delivering for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
We would... we would have the Bluebird in Moorestown cater lunch for the entire school staff at two different schools.
The Hookers would?
That was our gift to everybody, because in terms of how much I would regularly spend, we have so many. Max had so many teachers at the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Addie has so many people that help her and
through
mean
the day.
So much to us mm-hmm. at the elementary school that's what we did instead.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a lot, like to be, but it also, and you, and here's the thing, this was my thing, which John was not necessarily a fan of, but it was fine. We had to sit there for the entire lunch periods and engage with the entire staff.
Why?
Because we hosted their lunch.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
But it wasn't like we talked to people, we met people that we didn't know necessarily were a part of our kids' day, and... Mm-hmm. It was a really nice thing to do, but we could have done it differently. In the past, I'd done it with Panera. I had hosted like bagels and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff in the morning instead of, but I hosted a meal and we stood there and were there with the staff while we stared at them while they ate. No.
Man, that's a lot. You put it a lot is. Of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So when you do things like that, which I've learned from Lisa recently, when you give somebody and do so much for somebody like that in those terms, something is going to happen to where you're going to feel resentful later.
Yeah.
Because that person wasn't nice, or they gave your son a detention, right.
Or that person didn't say thank you on the way out the door.
Right. Or didn't, like, introduce themselves on their way in. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, you don't have to do that much. And I was doing it because I was doing it twofold. I wanted people to know how much we cared, and mm-hmm. we were grateful because especially Addie, was a very different situation, and she took a lot of eyes and a lot of attention in yeah. our school. And also, I like being the one that gives a good gift.
Yeah.
I love it. You're one of my favorite
you're
things.
A good gift, yeah.
And so, but it doesn't always work out like you think, and then you concentrate on the negative attention or the negative experience instead of all yeah. the great things that came from it.
And now, in this season, you know that maybe you're just not able to give like that. Not because of finances, but just like healthy, mm-hmm. like amount of time or resources that you just don't.
It's not necessary.
You're just going to be spread too thin if you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized too from a lot of teachers those handful of times that like they don't expect that.
No. Yeah. That's
know?
A, yeah.
Yeah, that, because I later sent a group text to, like, my teacher family members, which I have a lot, and teacher friends, and was like, what was the best teacher gift you ever received? Mm-hmm. And none of them cost money.
Yeah.
None of them. Not one.
A really nice card.
Yeah, like something that, like, about an experience or mm-hmm. something like that. And it was just like.
Or like a $5 gift card to Starbucks.
Yeah.
I got excited nice. About that. $5 yeah. gift card to Starbucks. Yeah.
Right. Noted. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, now I get it.
Yeah.
I didn't anticipate, like, how gift-giving backfires as being a part of our hard holidays, but sometimes it does.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can be, well, especially for you who loves, like, the whole process of, like, paying attention to people, buying a gift, giving them a gift. If you love doing that, maybe other people don't love doing that, and so then you feel let down when they give you things. Mm-hmm.
Very specifically, my dad.
No.
I got my dad a winemaking kit one year. Like a for real, make your own wine, mm-hmm. bottle it, labels, the whole thing. And I want to say it was like 3 or 4 years later, and I was like, hey, when's it time? Like, when do we get to drink that wine?
Yeah.
And he was like, that's still in the garage attic. And I was like, oh. And his girlfriend looked at me like big eyes and was like, oh, like she knew.
Yeah.
My dad goes, you put way too much thought into your gifts. And I was heartbroken. He was also like, he knows me and saying like, you don't like give yourself a break.
Give yourself a little.
But yeah. he could have said it differently. But in that moment, I felt really, really, really hurt.
Yeah.
So now my dad usually gets a book and cigars. And mm-hmm. that's. You can anticipate that that's...
The end.
Or a good sweater.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, there's 3 or 4 different things you might get, and that's it. I won't over... I will... Noted, I will never overthink one of your gifts again.
Hmm. So, for us, especially last year going into the Christmas season, was hard because we were We were baby-stepping some sobriety at our mm-hmm. house, and... My family, I did not come from a family that really drinks, and Chris's family didn't either, but a lot of our social settings, there's drinking. And for someone, I didn't know I was married to an alcoholic, but like being aware that I was with someone who probably really was very, very aware of people drinking and where the alcohol was and what people were doing, it changed maybe some of the things that we went to or the things that we didn't go to because there were just a lot of not safe situations. And so I think the holidays coming up, if you're new to sobriety or you're new to trying to be clean, like old friends get back together at the holidays. You see all of, like, you know, all your family that you don't see very often that you maybe just have a drink with for Christmas. Like, just there's all kinds of ways that our holiday season sets you up for routines and patterns that maybe you're trying to break. So it's hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It is. So then, like, I think that's why a lot of AA meeting attendance spikes up at the holidays too, because it's just so in your face. And we live in a culture that thinks you can't have a good time without that. Mm-hmm. And that's hard then for people that cannot handle that.
Well, that's the first gift that you see. Like, you can't even walk into the pharmacy without seeing the Jack Daniels and two,
the Christmas wine bottles.
Yeah, the two glasses, mm-hmm. and the whole thing. And I think in terms of recovery, that it's also a time where I bet if you looked at it, the, like, Xanax prescriptions go up. And I'm not saying that people are addicted to Xanax necessarily, but the fact that we need prescription medication to get through the holidays is a concern.
Because everything's just heightened. Yeah, emotions.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and you can get Xanax from your neighbor. You know, you don't mm-hmm. have to go to the doctor necessarily. But I know in terms of somebody who's recovering and working through codependent relationships, that the holidays are really, really hard for me. Very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's relationships that I don't have anymore. And it makes me very sad, even though I know that they're not healthy and that they're not anything that need to be recovered. It's still just, it just is hard,
mm-hmm.
because those codependent relationships were still relationships, whether they were healthy or not.
Yeah.
And when they're gone, it just, it makes, it doesn't, like you said, there's habit and unhealth. And that's a part of the holidays. And so when you decide to be healthy, those habits and those traditions kind of fall by the wayside. And what do you do? Like, what am I going to do instead of doing those things that I used to do? But I used to dread those things. So it's like, why
anyway.
Am I worried about it? I know. But it's still strange.
Yeah. I think that's hard. As the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday and all the festivities come up, that if you have had some kind of change in relationship, so like a marriage or a friendship, or maybe even the loss of someone, just mm-hmm. That something has left a hole, even if it was. So like for me, I had a friendship end and I know that it needed to end and I don't want it back, but I can still grieve that it's gone and that can still make me sad,
mm-hmm.
Even though I know that it was for the best. So when we're trying to be healthy and make healthy choices, it can still bring sadness or grief, mm-hmm. Especially if the person is still alive. And for a lot, I remember with the first Christmas after my grandfather died, like that was horrible, gathering everybody at my aunt's house. And, mm-hmm. you know, right before after dinner, we all sit around the Christmas tree and my grandpa would usually like have a little something to say, mm-hmm. and the first year that he didn't have anything to say, like, and my grandma trying to say it instead, that was pretty hard.
So yeah. Did you guys do it at a different location?
We didn't. We kept everything the same.
Yeah.
Just because there's only so many houses that can actually hold all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But, we'll talk on the next half about how to kind of get through that, and one of the things that experts say is to start new traditions.
Right.
So I think it kind of exaggerates the whole when you're trying to do the exact same thing in the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very obvious when something's missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had a lot of relationships shift, not necessarily lose, but shift in the last year. So everything feels very open-ended. I don't know what's going to happen. Last year I was excluded. I was told I wasn't welcome at a family function anymore, and that may have lent itself to be the worst holiday mm-hmm. of my adult life. I will never understand, when I would host Thanksgiving, it was if you didn't have a place to go, you came to my house. And even if I knew that, gosh, you are gonna really throw a wrench in the social dynamic here. However, the thought of you sitting at home alone or sitting at a Chinese restaurant by yourself, you can be as obnoxious as you want and be here and be around people. So I just as someone who's experienced it, when you double clutch thinking of inviting someone that you don't necessarily want, trust me, the feeling of having them there and knowing that they aren't alone is going to far outweigh the feeling of finding out what they were doing when they were alone. I've been very blessed in the last year to not have anybody pass. But I have been very close to numerous families who have. And I don't know what that first holiday, it's been a really long time since I've lost anybody, but that first holiday, remembering for me that it was just, you really do kind of feel like there's a hole somewhere, like physically in your body. 'Cause our last loss was a grandparent, and it was the grandparent that literally held, she was the glue. And she wasn't even my grandma, but she was more of a grandma to me than either one of my grandparents ever were. And oh my gosh, that's just, you've talked about this on the last episode, like 1 minute you're laughing and then the next minute you're crying. And I think that just being in that moment and letting that happen as it comes and not fighting it or not drinking it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not helpful either.
Yeah. So for the Grahams, and I know I haven't really spoken about this on the podcast, I've written about it before, and I think we'll probably come back to it at some point, but a few years ago, I found out I was pregnant right before Christmas, the month of December. And so we went through the holidays. Actually, it was soon after Thanksgiving. So when Christmas came around, we were with all of our family. We told them that we were pregnant. And then in January, I had a miscarriage. So I thought things were okay. Like it was unexpected pregnancy, and then it was unexpected loss. And there's a lot that comes with that. But I kind of had not forgotten about it, but felt okay until Christmas came around again. And then I was like, I should have a baby. And that made that following Christmas really hard in a way that I wasn't prepared for.
Right.
So the holidays, you know, they bring up a lot. They shine a light on holes that we have, or things that we never had that we wish we did, or things that we wish we still had. And I wonder sometimes if we do it to ourselves because we've made this holiday, which, you know, 20 years ago was not as flashy and as loud and as packed with importance. I mean, as a Christian, I find the Jesus birthday a big deal, but like the commercialization and the American way of doing this holiday, I wonder if we've, you know, kind of shot ourselves in the foot because we've made it so much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's really fun if you're happy, but if you're not, it's horribly hard.
Yeah. I mean, you said something about AA attendance skyrockets, so do suicide rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's an ugly thing to say, but again, in terms of somebody who needs a place to go or is feeling lonely, if you have the opportunity to reach out and include them, please do. If you have the means, you know,
mm-hmm.
you should. It is sad because this holiday isn't any, I mean, and this week, or this year, Thanksgiving is a whole week earlier, which means like, oh my gosh.
A longer Christmas season.
Oh, because Christmas starts on Thanksgiving Day now.
Mm-hmm.
literally starts on Thanksgiving Day now.
Yeah. At about noon or 4 o'clock whenever they open up all the stores for shopping.
Whenever they, corporate America has decided we should be done with our turkey and our mashed potatoes and let's move on.
Yeah.
Get to Target. Oh, that makes me nuts. I'm sorry. I've never participated in it.
I have, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Not since the, you know, wonderful World Wide Web came and you can just order everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like to shop on the weekends, let alone during the holiday season. And that sounds really crummy, but my work schedule and lifestyle has lent itself to be able to do stuff on the weekdays when nobody else is out the majority of the time.
Well, this isn't where we're going, but for the past like 5 or 6 years, I've worked really hard on like not buying things just to buy things. And I think so much of that time right after Thanksgiving is people just buying things they don't need with money they don't have because they think it's a good deal. And I have some strong reactions to that. So I'm not opposed to going out and getting a good deal, but I feel like the majority of us don't even need to be out.
No. Yeah. No. I'm really bad about buying things and putting them places and then forgetting that I bought them and then having like 4 gifts for one sister and no gifts for another sister. And yeah, so I have to, now I have a book, and it's actually kind of fun because now I can go over the last 4 or 5 years and tell you what I bought everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's fun. Yeah. It's like it turned into a journal that wasn't supposed to be a journal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also the things that I want to buy people, and then I'm like, yeah, you don't get that now.
You don't deserve that. So I think you kind of touched on it too. Like, those of us that struggle with mental illness of some degree, like depression or any kind of other thing that kind of fits under that category, the holidays are a time that make that a lot worse for a lot of people. And I think social media makes it worse. And I think Facebook makes it worse because the minute you're feeling hard or left out or lonely and you see, you know, the shiniest, best parts of people's lives in a way that is probably not accurate, it just kind of compounds the lowness that you're feeling.
That's never easy. I think even people get like a gestational mental illness during the holidays. I think that's real.
I think your family can give you that.
For sure. But Mary's known for a while, like the last couple months, that I have not been looking forward to the holidays. I've had some major shifts, relationships, in my family, in my house, and I have just said out loud a couple of times, like, I don't want to do this. And last Christmas, like I said before, was probably one of the worst Christmases of my adult life. There were plenty from my childhood that were way worse, but no, that's not what I was saying. I don't know why I say adult life, but it is, it's true. And I said to my therapist and to Mary, I know that I'm not going to survive this holiday without some medication. I know that I'm self-medicating too much right now, and I need to find a prescription that's going to help me safely navigate the holidays. And I just kind of said it in passing. Like, we hadn't had any big conversations about it. But Mary said, hey, you know, that shows a lot of work that you've done in the last year, that you're self-aware and know that, hey, I need help. I can't do this by myself. And I was grateful and thought, okay, yes, that's positive. Because when you've been in therapy this long and you feel like you still can't even make it through the holidays, you're like, where have I failed? But I hadn't failed because I wouldn't have used these coping mechanisms a year ago. So good job, Jess. So last week, or the week before last, long story short, I ended up in a stress center looking for help. And I didn't receive the help that I needed. But a few days later, I did end up at a new family doctor who was very, very helpful. And we know that I have some addiction issues, and we know that I have some mental health issues, and I don't know if this is a good time to work through them, but I figure actually the goal is to have everything in place in the next week or so, so that we're treating the correct thing. And I'm doing my part in therapy and in counseling, to make myself safe and to make my kids safe, and to not set myself up for any unnecessary stressors. So that's the goal. And I would share more information, but I don't want to tell you guys that I have a diagnosis that I don't, but that I'm working through it. And my heart goes out to anybody else who is doing the same. So I'm just saying that if you feel like you have to go to the big box store and get the case of alcohol, or you have to find your buddy with the substance that helps you get through the holidays, just consider going to the doctor. Consider the fact that you might have an imbalance. Consider the fact that you might have a stress disorder. Consider the fact that you don't have to do this alone.
And I think you're a good example of working really hard in counseling to do as much as you can, and then also knowing that you need some assistance to continue to get healthier. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't mean it's forever, and it doesn't mean that you're weak. Because you've been fighting for a long time to be healthy, and I think this is just the next step for you to continue getting healthier. And it's not a setback, and it's not a weakness to say, I can't do this alone. Because I think most of us, in one way or another, we can't do that.
No, but we would like to think that we could. And like Lisa said, she goes, you have white-knuckled this for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I know it was really hard. And like I told her, when I told her all of my struggles and what I had been doing to self-medicate and to cope, I said, I can't even look you in the face because I'm so full of shame right now. And a good therapist will tell you there's no shame in being honest. Mm-mm. And that's what happened.
And I don't know if this needs to be in the recording or not, but I think one of the ways that we're good friends is that I don't feel shame. So when you say things to me, like I don't have shame to share with you because I don't feel shame. So like you saying thing, like, and I think you have like an unfair amount of shame. Like you have, you know, more than necessary, and I have less than necessary. So like we balance each other.
Each other out a little bit.
So that
yeah,
when you say something that you feel is shameful, like I don't like mm-hmm. I just hear that as being honest and truthful, and I think that's powerful and brave and not shameful. And not, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, but that's what makes you a good friend protector, which I don't know.
That's what my business card says.
I almost feel like I thought like some kind of like you just go around like and have these like full body condoms and you're like, here, I'll keep you safe.
You know what I am? I'm a giant condom. That's what I am.
Here is your boundary because you can't set them yourself. I'm going to wrap you up in this.
But
I'm saying like that you can say that in those times, and even, and you said I've received an unnecessary amount of shame at times, and because you've watched people go, oh no, I'm gonna make you feel mm-hmm. shameful for this, and you going, the hell you are, no. She didn't do anything. You know, so I'm grateful for that, because otherwise I would just be standing here in my big
And your shame condom.
My big shame condom.
What?
Oh my gosh. Our friend that makes the cartoons. I'm very concerned what he's going to come up with for the shame condom.
Phil,
don't make a shame condom.
I have some ideas. I'll sketch them. I'll sketch them out.
All right. Well, I think we covered a lot on hard holidays, more than we anticipated. So we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with some coping mechanisms, some things that you can do to help you
survive.
Yeah. Get through in the healthiest way possible the holidays. Hey, guys. We're going to take a quick break and talk to you about the sponsor of today's show. The Front Room Studio, something near and dear to both Mary and I. The Front Room Studio is located 20 minutes east of Indianapolis in New Palestine, Indiana, and it's open to hosting your next event or gathering. Comfortably accommodating groups of 15 or less, the Front Room Studio is the perfect space for your next wine and canvas night, book club, shower, or holiday party. Perhaps you're in need of a professional space to host a meeting or workshop. Our cozy conference table seats 10. Our modern vintage decor and natural light lends a unique backdrop to photographers needing space for the day. Visit the Front Room Studio on Facebook to schedule your next event in our affordable, stylish space.
Hey, welcome back. In today's episode, we are talking about the upcoming holiday season and how that can be hard for many of us. We spent the first part of the episode just discussing a little bit of some situations that might feel less than joyful or exciting as we come to this Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and all the stuff and the New Year, all those things that involve a lot of big feelings and gatherings. So now we're going to kind of walk through some things to help us survive this time.
When I was prepping for this episode, I know everybody calm down, I did prep for this episode.
What?
I know. I realized how much my highly sensitive characteristics come out is around the holidays, especially. I mean, just because there's so much celebrating and gathering at one time. And I know that in other situations, not just now, the things that I do to prepare to go out or to be around people. And it's usually just like short meditation. And but I pray more at Christmas time than I do any time of year, because I always have someplace to go and I have to say a short prayer, which usually is something along the lines of, "Dear God, please, please, please let these people not be assholes." No, that's not what I say. It's most often I ask for patience, and I was like, "And look, I know that thing that you do about patience is you try people so that they learn patience, but I'm being serious.
We're not playing that game right now.
I can't do it right now. We'll talk about the beginning of the year. I need real patience right now. That's what I need. Can you come through? Can you come through?
Can I get an amen?"
But I do. I just say these short prayers, but then... And I'm usually serious, and I've even Googled prayers like, "Hey, deal, like, give me
some words,
give me kindness, give me grace, give me, you know, let me have fun with these people. Don't let me be so negative about this, that this doesn't have to be a bad experience." And then usually when I'm in the car, I have there's like these little short meditations and apps on my phone, and I can play a meditation while I'm in my car. Ones that you don't have to close your eyes for, so you actually make it to the party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my, what do you need to do before?
Yeah. So, like, just a 5-minute, like, kind of like a breathing exercise, maybe.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and then it just has some, they'll talk you through some, like, they'll talk you through the breathing, like, the and count it out. And, I mean, when you're counting and you're breathing, there's really not a lot of time to...
get worked up or
catastrophize.
Anxious. Yeah.
Yeah. What's about to happen, which I am very good at.
I have that. So I have a situation that has caused me a lot of stress. And whenever I catch myself thinking about it, I immediately, have this Bible verse that I say, like just like a little like thing that just like draws my mind away from it so that I can't get worked up over it.
Yeah.
So just like getting that little whatever your saying is or thing that you can bring your mind back to focus on, mm-hmm. not the things that are going to like hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's smart. So you've meditated, you've prayed, you have to walk into the party. Literal nervous diarrhea, usually. Mm-hmm. Not nervous diarrhea, because that would be probably just some nervous gas.
Nervous toots.
Nervous toots in the car. I don't know why I get so worked up about being around people, because people would never know that I get so worked up about being around people.
No, I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. Well, that's where the unhealthy coping comes mm-hmm. in, because once I get to the party, somebody's handed me a drink and we can just drink these fears mm-hmm. away and you're going to be fine. Well, next thing you know, nothing terrible's happened, but you've probably said something pretty stupid. And it's just your head's not like, you know what I mean? Like you're like, I did something or I said something that I normally wouldn't have. Like, you're not drunk, but you've had enough drinks to go, that was not my best decision.
Yeah.
And then, I just don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. And I don't like being lumped with the people that are like that, you know?
Without drinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, ugh. So I honestly don't have good coping in the moment. My coping is to find the ranch dip and the cocktails and...
2 packets of ranch seasoning.
Always. And now when I go places and they don't double do the ranch powder, I won't participate.
Can't have that.
Can't participate.
Mm-mm. So you are good when it's your pace, but the minute like others get involved, you like lose your focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a lot of fear of people not liking me. So mm-hmm. if I'm not really me and I can drink myself fun, then that probably seems safe. That's mm-hmm. probably where everybody will be fine. And rarely is everybody fine.
Just as a general rule mm-hmm. for life.
Yeah. What do you do? Any good coping? What do you do? Because you don't have that confidence issue. You're not concerned about people liking you or disliking you when you go to these events, right?
No, I don't. I don't care if you like me.
I can't imagine living in a world where you don't care if people like you.
I don't know. Like, that's, I don't know. That's when I walk into a room, I'm not worried if people want me to be there or if they like them there. I think that's a curse and a blessing, though. I think there can be times where it would be nice if I would care a little bit more what people thought.
Right.
You know, like, there have been times where that has not worked in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
Because
probably people see that you're not really concerned and they're like, wow, she's kind of a...
Yeah, so then I would come off as stuck up or I have a former friend that all the time told me I acted better than everyone else. And that's not it at all. Like, I don't think I'm better than anyone. I'm not trying to impress you.
Right.
So it comes off as... I don't know what it comes off as, but
I think that happens often, though. It comes off in somebody else's own insecurities.
Yes.
They're projecting onto you.
Yes.
How they feel about themselves.
Yes. Yeah. And so being more aware of that, so the hard part for me in moments when I've had hard holidays, it's been more of like, I'm a big tradition and I really like a routine. Mm-hmm. So like my routines... of the holidays, if something has switched or something is missing or we're not doing, somebody isn't there, like it breaks my heart like in a profound way. So when my grandpa wasn't there, I feel like we should have maybe started some new traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of smarter people than us say, that when you are trying to kind of ease through a difficult time or a difficult season, that changing a celebration or starting a new tradition is a really great way to handle some of the sadness or the pain. Mm-hmm. And what I, in the back of my head, it kind of tells me is like, oh, but you're forgetting that person. Like you're, and there's almost like a guilt associated with that, but it's okay to start something new.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, I know a family that after someone passed, the following year, they would go to Florida for the holiday just because they didn't want to experience that very first holiday back there without them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of would go back the year after that and just resume mm-hmm. as regular. So I think that's okay too, if that's the way
that
it works
sense.
For them.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there were little things that we would do after somebody would pass. I had a relative that never liked food to go to waste. And so one time he poured gravy on top of chocolate cake. And so at some point somebody would get a little bit of gravy and pour it on the chocolate cake and we would have a bite. And it was just kind of like a funny little, mm-hmm. you know, memory.
A nod.
Yeah. And just things like that, doing things like that mm-hmm. instead of, you know, my Aunt Susie has pretty pictures of each one of our family members that have passed, and she has them on the tree mm-hmm. for when we celebrate Christmas at her house. And I just think that there's 1,000 ways that you can pay tribute and have a moment that's special to remember the people that aren't with you anymore.
Yeah. One way a lot of professionals recommend doing a holiday for the first time or just addressing a sadness that comes with a holiday is to find someone to help. And that doesn't mean like buy Christmas for a family, but just like serving or volunteering or taking whatever pain or hole that you have and focusing on someone else mm-hmm. is a really great way to kind of get out of your head for a minute. And I remember within a week after I had asked Chris to leave last fall, there was at the school district I used to teach in, a couple kids were killed, and my friend was putting together a counseling and support team to go to the school, and she asked me to go. And in my head, I was like, no, I can't support myself. I'm not going to support anyone else. And she was like, hey, I think it would be really good for you if you came. And so I went, and it was really good. And I saw kids that I had in middle school, and it was like, it felt really good to not focus on my own pain for a little bit and to take care of someone else. And then just this last fall when things were rough again, my friend didn't know things were going on, but a kid that she needed, again, some support people, and she called me just randomly and said, hey, I need you to come and support these kids. There's been an accident. And I went again and supported kids, and it feels right when you're in the moment of helping somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just, I got a little break, a little attention away from my pain, and got to put it somewhere healthy, and that felt good. Mm-hmm. And this time of year especially, there's plenty of places to volunteer and serve and, you know, take the focus off of your own mm-hmm. pain for a little bit. I think that's a really good way to do, or maybe that can be a new tradition too, is like that you join a new group or you volunteer at something.
In the wake of, you know, sadness, depression, mental illness, whatever whatever degree of severity that you're experiencing, I know that I've shared with other people something that's helped me cope is when I don't know what to do and I don't know what I need, I help someone else and I find what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not make sense right this second, but sometimes you don't physically need anything. You don't need anything. You need to give your time and your energy and your love towards somebody who needs what you need. and mm-hmm. somehow your service fills the hole in you also.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes my worst moment is after an event. It's usually the morning after the event, but it starts after the event. I'm driving home, but the morning after, depending on how intoxicated I am, or depending on how obnoxious I thought I was, I immediately go through all the reasons and all the things that I did and the reasons people hate me. This is why you hate me. This is why this was a bad event. This mm-hmm. is what you ruined. Everybody's talking about.
This is the stupid thing you said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is when you offended so-and-so. This is, and you know I do this because I've done this with First Thursday. I come back and I apologize and I say, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that I behaved this way. I'm sorry that I did it. And sometimes it's like, yeah, that was dumb, you know, and other times it's like, we don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, unless I know that I have outwardly hurt someone's feelings, I don't do this all the time, but in my head I have made the decision that I do always minimum get on somebody's nerves. I don't know why it bothers me. I want everybody to like me. I don't want to get on anybody's nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having that conversation over and over and over again in my head and going, this is what you should have said. This is how you should have reacted. This is when you should have stopped drinking. And now I just go back and I write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I apologize. And I let it sit for a couple of days. And if it's still with me to the point that I think that I need to send it, then I send it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not and I realize, okay, you were overreacting because this is what you do.
Yeah.
And this person hasn't confronted you about it, then we're just going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Or same, if somebody said something that really, really offended me or hurt me and I want to respond with, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's wild the things that people have said to me about my personal life or about Addie's condition that they think is completely okay because we're so open and honest with our story that they think it's okay to say, so what's her life expectancy anyway? Well, that's the way to bring down a party really fast.
What's your life expectancy?
Real short.
Right.
Here in a second,
that blood pressure.
I just, yeah, it's wild. And so I know like that's a very specific letter that I wrote to somebody like this. Why would you ever? And I just had to let it sit because it's just like there's no point.
Yeah.
It was just one of those awkward things people say when they don't know what to say.
Right.
It
or wasn't, when they've been drinking, too.
Or when they've been drinking. They weren't trying to be malicious, but it was said. So I also write letters to people who have hurt my feelings or got on my nerves or, you know, and it's just a better way to treat the situation than reacting.
Yeah. So kind of along the same lines of what you just said, when you leave a party and you kind of rehash and then you let it sit for a while and you speak up when you need to. I think that's another good thing to do as we head into the holidays is sometimes people don't know that we're struggling because on the outside we look fine. And it doesn't make you weak to say I'm not okay. So like Paula said last episode, like find your person and tell them the truth and tell them all of the truth. And it is okay to say that you're struggling and that you need help or that you don't know what to do. I think keeping it in makes whatever it is worse instead of better. That was a lot of sadness and hard things. So we don't want to end on that, though. So what do you got this week? What's not terrible in your life, Jess Hooker?
Well, it started out as terrible, and then it wasn't terrible. There was a leak in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Told you about my leak.
I saw that on social media.
Yes, there was a leak in my kitchen where someone thought they were drilling in to a stud, and they were drilling in to a water pipe. A pipe that came downstairs and basically it was dirty water.
Mm.
All the dirty water. The good news is that I get to knock out a wall in my kitchen now that I've always wanted to knock out. And I just don't know when it's going to happen.
I know someone that loves to knock out walls.
I love to knock out walls too, but we don't know if I can knock out this wall.
Structurally? You know, in my house,
yeah, structurally, yeah. I've knocked out a lot of walls.
Uh-huh.
And if I can knock out one more wall, I'll be done, but I might not be able to knock out this wall.
Oh,
worst
no.
case scenario, I have to leave a support beam,
mm-hmm.
like a post. So
yeah.
if I have to leave a post, I might just do open shelving there instead of knocking it all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. So it's not terrible, but it will be terrible if it's not done by the end of the year.
Oh. So related to that, my not terrible is my dad and my husband put up my new mantle yesterday. We've got a reclaimed wood from a barn, a dairy barn in Ohio that somebody salvaged and I bought with my pennies. And they hung up this beautiful, aged, like 100-year-old piece of wood.
It is very pretty.
Thank you. So it is up. I cannot wait to decorate it. I told you this morning when we got in that I opened up some Christmas decorations and just like put everything I could on my mantle. Like it does not look good right now, but I just I decorated the crap out of that. And I'll go home and take it down because it's really gaudy, but I put everything on that mantle this morning.
Do you have those things that you that are like weighted that have the hook on them so you don't have to drive anything into your new mantle, right? I'm talking about hold your
yeah,
stockings.
Yeah, no, I don't because I've never had a mantle before, so I'll need to buy those.
You will definitely. I don't know about definitely, but you will definitely need to
yeah,
buy those.
I need to buy those. I've never had a mantle
before.
Oh yeah. So good excuse to buy more things.
Yeah. Those are fun, though, and they usually have really pretty ones at Target.
Oh.
They have they can get your initial.
Yeah. I don't even think we have, like, a good family set of stockings because I've had nowhere to put them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we just,
well,
the girls,
fun.
I think, have stockings, and we just put them out by the tree.
Oh, okay.
Or
okay.
Lay them by the, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, this is a whole new holiday for you.
I know. A whole new world. See, and you've been singing all day, and then I just had to get in on the action.
Is that a hymn that I was singing, or hymnal? Hymnal? No, hymnal's the book.
Hymnal,
was it a hymn?
Yeah. What was it?
Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore
it's
thee.
It's from Sister Act.
Then it is.
It's a hymn. It's a hymn, but it's just like a
right.
modern. I think that's their.
Do I sound just like Lauryn Hill?
Yeah, you do. I was confused. I thought she came back. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. In the studio right now.
Yep.
Speaking of the holidays, hey, guess what?
We're getting ready to go on vacation.
Like a cruise. We're taking a cruise together.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine?
Oh. We would not talk to each other the whole time and it would be so relaxing.
I know. I'll be like, I'll meet you at the buffet like 3 o'clock, right?
Right.
Yep. Okay,
for
see
a
you then.
Snack.
That's it. That's the only time we would see each other.
That's true. No, what are we doing?
We're going on holiday.
Just taking a break.
Taking a break. We, this is 10 of this
chunk
of 10,
mm-hmm.
and, we'll be back in January. We'll have a bonus episode like we have in the past because we know how much you guys love those, but you know, the only way you get those is if you are a subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you need to go to notterrible.com and subscribe.
Not Terrible Podcast.
Son of a, every time.
Every time. Have you ever been there?
I haven't.
You've
it's
never
bookmarked,
been there.
So I don't have to type it. So maybe everybody else, yeah, you got to go to notterriblepodcast.com
mm-hmm.
and become an email subscriber so that you will get the bonus episode. And yes,
yeah.
you will want this. It will be worth it.
Yes. And when you sign up, if you haven't signed up before, you also will send you the first bonus episode. So
yeah.
we will have another one coming out soon. So you could technically, if you sign up soon, get 2 bonus episodes. So you don't even have to make it through the holiday season without
mm-hmm.
us.
No,
we'll be there for
here.
You.
Yeah. And as always, you can follow us on our social media. Mm-hmm. I am JessHooker_ on Instagram and Twitter.
And I am TheMaryGraham on Instagram and Twitter. So will we be back in January? We don't know.
We don't know.
We might be leaving.
Yeah, we might just go all Olivia Pope on you guys and end up on an island somewhere.
Oh.
Did you ever finish that series?
I did.
I didn't.
I did.
Maybe that's what I'll do while we're on break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I have something to do.
Yeah. And Ozarks. Did you watch that?
No.
You need to get into it.
I know, but I feel like it's going to be too much.
It was too much for Chris, maybe.
Then I'm on board with Chris.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That's all the business we had.
I think that's it.
All right. We'll see you guys in January, if not sooner.
Happy holidays. Ooh, yeah. How about a tease?
Yeah, a tease that I wasn't supposed to do, but I stepped on, and actually it went really well.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
What's it gonna take to convince you that you're okay? What's it gonna take?